Well, we've been in Galatians, but I thought since we have a kind of a different night tonight, I wanted to just share a brief meditation that stems in some part from this passage. When we look at these miracles when Jesus feeds multitudes, a lot of the times what we take from it is God can work miracles or God can take a very small amount and bring a lot out of it. And that is true. But what I want to point out, and I want to take us just on a brief tour through Scripture, is that I think that this shows a way that God works. I'm going to call it the deep logic of the way that God creates. So what I want to do is go back to Genesis and track this theme all the way throughout. But you can see what Jesus does in this passage. He takes something, he breaks it, he breaks this bread, and then he gives thanks, he distributes it and multiplies it. And what's left over is an abundance left over afterwards, all right? And there's this great celebration. So this is the pattern that I think we see again and again in Scripture. Breaking, multiplication, and celebration. All right, breaking, multiplication, and celebration. In Genesis 1, when God creates, after the initial day of creation, on almost every day of creation, he takes what's there and he separates it. He separates light from darkness. He separates dry land from the ocean. And in that separation, there's that breaking. He breaks things apart. And then after that, he fills those realms. The night, he populates with the stars and the moon. The day, he populates with the sun. And then at the end of those days of creation, there is what? It is very good. There's this acknowledgement of what God has done. So there's that pattern again. God takes and breaks. God multiplies. And there is this celebration or an appreciation of what God did. So, again, there it is in the very beginning. And I simply want to suggest that this is how God works and almost all the time when he's creative. He takes, he breaks, he multiplies, and then there is a kind of a celebration or a reception of what he's done. Consider Adam. The scripture says it was not good for Adam to be alone. And so God brought all the animals to Adam, and one by one, Adam named the animals. But in that process, he recognized, I'm alone. He recognized that it was not good for him to be alone. So what does God do? He puts him to sleep. He breaks him in half, if you will. And he creates a woman from his side. He multiplies Adam. And what happens when Adam sees Eve for the first time? It's the first words of Adam in Scripture, and he sings a song of celebration in what he's seen. So does everybody see the pattern again? God takes, he breaks, he multiplies, and then there is this celebration. You can see it in the life of Abraham. Abraham is called to go away from his home and his people. He leaves all that behind. That is that kind of breaking and separation. He leaves his father once he has passed away in Haran. And all through Abraham's life, there's these signs of the covenant that God has with him. There's the sign of circumcision, which is a cutting and a breaking. There's the sign of the animals arranged in halves. Remember that? When God says, take these animals, arrange them in half, and walk between, arrange the animals in half. So there's this breaking and separation that goes on in Abraham's life. But then look at what happens repeatedly through Abraham's life as he travels. He goes down into Egypt and he leaves with great riches. God multiplies him in all kinds of ways, at all kinds of stages of his life. And ultimately, he becomes a father in his old age. And there is this sense in which Abraham's life, the scripture tells us, ends full of days. Right? It's this celebration of God's faithfulness and a reception of God's goodness. So once again, God takes, he breaks, he multiplies, and there is this celebration. You could, I think, trace this pattern in almost all of the patriarchs, but I'll point out a few more. Jacob. Remember what happens to Jacob after he has deceived his father and stolen the blessing from his brother? He runs away. He's broken. He's separated. He's cut off from his family and his homeland. And he goes to sojourn in another land. And what happens on his way? He stops for the night in Bethel and he puts his head on a stone. He uses a stone for a pillow. And he has this dream in which he has a vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder or on a staircase. And he wakes up in the morning and says, surely God was in this place and I didn't know it. So consider, Jacob is cut off. He's alone. He's at night. He's running away. It's definitely a breaking and a cutting and a separation. And he finds out that God is in the midst of that. And what happens when he goes? He goes and he works for 7 years and then another 7 years for his wives. And in all of that, God blesses him and multiplies him. And the latter end of his life, as he returns home, he makes peace with Esau, his brother, who is seeking to kill him. All right, there is this Sabbath. There is this celebration. Joseph. Consider Joseph. He is sold off into slavery. He is separated from his family. He is cut off from them, and he descends into the pit of slavery. And he descends into the pit of prison, only to be raised up, to be multiplied in Egypt. And in the end of his life, he says to his brothers, what you intended for evil, God used for good. God took Joseph. Excuse me. Yeah, Joseph. He broke him. He divided him. He multiplied him. And in the end, he raised him up, and there was a great celebration of what God had done. Am I convincing you of this pattern? It's again and again and again. Let me just do one more from the Old Testament. I'll mention actually two more from the Old Testament. Remember the widow of Zarephath. Elijah has been running away from King Ahab, and he has been hiding out, and God has fed him with ravens, bringing him bread. And he eventually says, I'm sending you to a widow in Zarephath. And he goes and he finds this widow, and he says, give me a morsel of bread and give me a drink. And she says, I only have enough to feed my son and myself one last meal. And he says, it's okay. Let me read this from 1 Kings 17. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked and only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she, consider it. It's a great risk. It's a dividing. It's a separation. But she does it. And that oil does not run out, and that flour does not run out. And at the end of all of it, she says this, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth. And the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. There's a separation, there's a multiplication, and there's a celebration. You could look at it in Job's life in the biggest way, right? Job has all things that are good. He has a huge family. He's one of the wealthiest in the land. He's described like a king. And of course, Satan means evil for him. And God allows his family to be taken from him, his property to be taken from him. But in Job's latter days, Job is multiplied again after that division, after that breaking. And his latter days end with almost double of what he had before. So that brings us back to the loaves and the fishes. Jesus does the same thing. So can everybody see, it's not just that it teaches us that God provides. It teaches us how he provides. He takes something good and he breaks it apart and he distributes it out and it multiplies. And there is great feasting and celebration in the giving of that thing that he has broken and multiplied. Of course, this is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus' body. Jesus is the best man that ever lived. He is the Son of God. And his body is taken and broken for the life of the world. He is raised to new life, becoming the firstborn among, the scripture tells us, many brothers. The world is filled with his brothers and sisters. He is multiplied. And now in the book of Acts, Jesus is known to the disciples on the road to Emmaus in that breaking of bread, in that taking and breaking. It is in that breaking of bread, in that taking and breaking and multiplication and celebration that we see that God has always worked and he continues to work. Consider the book of Acts and the way the church grows and multiplies in Acts. Peter and the others are arrested in Acts chapter 5. And the scripture says that they're arrested and as a result, many believed. there, we would think, no, we don't want to restrict the preaching of the word of God, but it is in taking Peter and separating him, dividing him, breaking him, that there is this multiplication and the church grows. The church is persecuted in Jerusalem after the stoning of Stephen. And as a result, the church is scattered. And it's in that scattering, it's in that separation and division and breaking that God multiplies the church. And ultimately, the church grows. So this taking, breaking, multiplying, and celebrating is the deep logic of God's creative work. I think if you took that and you started to pay attention to almost all scriptural stories, you would see that deep biblical pattern at work. It's at work in almost everything we do. In almost all the creative acts that we do, from making cakes to building homes, we take something that's already there that's good, we break it apart, we rearrange it, it kind of multiplies in that rearranging, and there's enjoyment and celebration of it. Think about taking wood and breaking it apart and reassembling it into a table, and think about the meals that go on around that table. We act like God in our making. We take, we break, we multiply, we celebrate. Think about how you take ingredients for food, various ingredients. You take various ingredients and you break them apart and you mix them together, and it multiplies into something far more than the sum of its parts. And there's this great celebration and enjoyment we have of it. People do it with words. They do it with the alphabet to create new songs and new poems. You break language apart, you put it back together, and there's this great celebration of that thing. Musical notes, all the time, we take them and we rearrange them into something new. And there is this singing of a new song because of that taking and breaking and multiplying and putting it back together. And of course, we can see this in the pattern of our own lives. There's lots of times in our lives, again, think back to Joseph and Jacob and Abraham. There's many deaths in our lives. There's many times when we lose something or something is broken or there's this separation or there's this division. But often when that happens, there's a new fruitfulness that comes. Maybe there's a deepening in maturity. Maybe there's a deepening of fruit in our lives. And there's this enjoyment and celebration of a new stage of maturity or a new stage of understanding of God and His ways. It happens when kids leave home, when we leave something comfortable, when there's a death to something that is familiar to us. Each new stage in life brings, or can bring, these separations, these divisions, these things that seem like the end, but are actually the beginning of something new that God is doing inside of us. And I think what the scripture would teach us is these are never defeats. They are never ultimately the loss of something good. They're what God has always done to create. They're what God has always done to multiply. And so I think the question I want to encourage us to think about is, where are you being divided? Where are you being broken? Where is something maybe painful that's going on? Where's that happening in your life? And what might God be doing to multiply something new in you, to bear new fruit in you? Where do you see some kind of difficulty that's like this taking and breaking that God always does? We can see this in the church in Acts. We can see it in church. We talk all the time about how we want to plant a church. That's going to be painful. That's going to be a division. Part of the great difficulty of planting a church is we just don't want to send our friends away. All right, and you can see that at the home group level. We don't want to divide our home group because it's so comfortable and we love one another and it's great. But God always takes things that are good and breaks them and multiplies them and makes them something more. He brings about new fruitfulness. Personal faith. You know, I don't know how many people have this experience in your walk with God, but maybe you become a new Christian and you have this great joy. You have this great excitement. You have this great zeal for what God has done in your life, and it's wonderful. And then maybe things happen in church life or in your life that bring darkness and disillusionment. And it seems like maybe God has abandoned me. I think maybe He's taking us and He's breaking us because He wants to bear new fruit in our lives. Remember, Jesus says that I am the vine, you are the branches. And the Father prunes us so that we can bring out new fruit. So that difficulty and darkness and disillusionment may very well be God doing new things. And it's hard for us to learn, but when you begin to step back and see that God does this again and again and again, it can encourage us to say, hey, wait a minute. God loves me, and I believe maybe just like he did in Abraham's life, he's doing something new in me. So we believe that the gospel brings joy. We believe that God does good things in our life. But I also want to encourage us that as Americans, we tend to shy away from the dark stuff. We tend to shy away from the painful stuff. We don't like sorrow, failure, weakness, brokenness, suffering. But very often, that's where God is doing something new in our lives. That's where God is bearing new fruit in our lives. Breaking always hurts. It's always difficult. But we have to learn that that is often the path to fruitfulness that God is bringing in our lives. Amen? In Romans 8, Paul says that we are, as the people of God, led by the Spirit of God. We are like Israel in the wilderness, led through this the world by the Spirit of God. And he goes on to talk a lot about suffering. In fact, he zeroes in on that suffering. And he says that when we experience that darkness, when we experience suffering, when we experience things that seem like the end, the Spirit of God himself groans in our hearts with us. And he is using those things to bear new fruit in our life. So what Paul would tell us, what I think the scripture would tell us, is that no suffering, no separation, no breaking or division is ultimately fatal or final. But God is doing new things in those who are in Christ, that he is bringing forth new fruit. Losses, things that seem like losses to us, are only apparent losses. Let me close with a scripture from James. This is James chapter 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy. Remember, we don't count various difficulties joy because we're supposed to like pain. We count it joy because we believe God loves us and he's taking a hold of us. And maybe he's breaking. Maybe he's dividing. But he's multiplying fruit in us. And it's going to result in the peaceable fruit of righteousness and joy and celebration. Amen? I want to read, as we come to the table, I want to read what Jesus does on the road to Emmaus when he appears to the two disciples that didn't recognize him. Because it is a scene very similar to the multiplication of the fishes and the loaves. This is Acts chapter 24. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it. And he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them, and gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. May he be known to us tonight in the breaking of bread. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. We'll come to the table.